Welcome to the Product Growth Podcast. I'm Arjun, and today we're getting into something that I think every product manager in India needs to have tattooed on their brain, the hook model. It's the psychological framework behind why you can't stop scrolling Instagram, why Dream 11 has you checking your rank every 10 minutes during an IPL match, and why Cred made paying your credit card bill somehow fun. Joining me to break this down is Mira, who spent years thinking about engagement, retention, and what actually makes users come back. Mira, good to have you.
Always good to be here, Arjun, and you picked a meaty one today. The hook model is one of those frameworks that sounds simple on paper. Four steps, clean loop. But the execution is where most products completely fall apart.
Let's start with the basics for anyone who's hearing this term for the first time. Nir Eyal, four steps, walk us through it.
So the core idea is that great products don't just get used, they become habits. And Nir Eyal's hook model gives you a repeatable loop to engineer that. Step one is the trigger. Step two is the action. Step three is the variable reward. And step four is the investment. Each cycle through the loop deepens the habit, and the goal is to get users to a point where they no longer need you to remind them to open the app. The app becomes their response to an internal feeling.
That distinction between external and internal triggers is fascinating to me. Can you unpack that a bit?
Yes, because this is where the real money is, literally. When you launch a product, you're entirely dependent on external triggers, push notifications, emails, SMS, and you're paying for every single one of those through your CHAC. But the goal is to migrate users toward internal triggers. An internal trigger is a negative emotion or a situation that automatically makes someone reach for your app. Boredom triggers Instagram. Loneliness triggers Tinder. Financial anxiety triggers someone opening their stock portfolio app. When your product gets associated with one of those deep emotional states, you've essentially built a free acquisition engine inside the user's own psychology.
That's a slightly unsettling way to put it, but completely accurate. Now, the action step. This is where I see a lot of Indian startups mess up. They get the trigger right, and then the action flow is a disaster.
Completely. The action has to be the absolute minimum behavior required to get to the reward. Nir Eyal leans on BJ Fogg's behavior model here. Behavior happens when motivation and ability meet. So if someone gets a notification saying their flight price dropped, the action should be one tap that lands them directly on the booking screen. The moment you make them re-enter their destination, search again, log back in, you've killed the loop. Cognitive load is the enemy of the action phase.
Okay, let's talk about variable reward, because this is the one that's most counterintuitive. Why variable? Why not just a great, consistent reward?
Because the brain's dopamine system isn't actually activated by the reward itself. It's activated by the anticipation of an uncertain reward. Predictability kills engagement. Think about why you scroll a social feed, but you'd never scroll your bank statement the same way. The feed might have something amazing. It might have nothing. That uncertainty is what keeps you going. Eyal breaks variable rewards into three types. Rewards of the tribe. Social validation, likes, seeing how you rank against friends. Rewards of the hunt, the slot machine pull, searching for something valuable, a discount code, a relevant piece of content. And rewards of the self. Mastery, completion, leveling up.
And Cred is the perfect Indian case study for this. They took literally the most boring financial chore, paying a credit card bill, and turned it into a slot machine.
It's genuinely brilliant product design. The trigger is anxiety about late fees. The action is a single UPI tap, so friction is near zero. But instead of giving you a flat 50 rupee cashback, they make you spin a wheel. You might get 5 rupees, you might get 10,000. That unpredictability is intoxicating, and it's a textbook reward of the hunt. And then the investment. You link your email so Cred can parse your statements, which deepens their data engine and ensures you come back next billing cycle automatically.
Dream 11 is another one I want to touch on because the hook cycle there runs at an incredibly high velocity during IPL season.
Dream 11 is almost a perfect specimen for this framework. The internal trigger is that mix of excitement and boredom right before a match starts. The action is picking 11 players, but the reward is continuous. It's a live, fluctuating leaderboard that you're checking every 10 minutes because real-world events are changing your rank in real time. That delivers rewards of the tribe, beating your friends, and rewards of the hunt, the possibility of winning money, simultaneously. And the investment is all that time you spent researching player stats, which emotionally commits you to the next match.
Zepto is an interesting contrast here because they don't really gamify anything. Their reward is almost anti-variable. It's just pure speed.
Right, and this is a good reminder that the framework is flexible. Zepto's variable reward is actually the surprise of the speed itself. When your doorbell rings 10 minutes after you ordered something, that near magical experience is the reward. You weren't sure it would actually be that fast, and it was. The investment is softer, saved addresses, saved payment methods, but it's enough to make switching to a competitor feel annoying.
Before we wrap up, I want to get into the ethics piece, because this framework is powerful enough that it genuinely can be used for harm. Where do you draw the line?
Near Eyal has a framework within the framework called the manipulation matrix, and it's two questions. First, does this product materially improve the user's life? Second, would you use this product yourself? If you can answer yes to both, you're probably building a painkiller, something people genuinely want. If you can't, you're likely exploiting psychological vulnerabilities to extract time or money. Doom-scrolling loops that are engineered to maximize anxiety, predatory lending apps that use the hunt mechanic to hook people into debt cycles, those fail the test. The benchmark data is also pretty stark. Products with well-designed habit loops see up to 3 times higher 90-day retention than purely utilitarian tools. But that power cuts both ways.
That's such an important point to end on. The mechanism is neutral. It's intention that determines whether you're building something people love or something that quietly damages them. Mira, this was fantastic. The cred teardown alone is worth the price of admission.
Always fun pulling these apart. The hook model is one of those tools that once you see it, you genuinely cannot unsee it. You'll spot it in every app you open for the next week.
That's the best kind of framework. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode. If you want to go deeper, there's a full written breakdown of the hook model with more Indian app teardowns over at productgrowth.in. Thanks so much for tuning into the Product Growth Podcast. We'll see you next time.